to the Internet Monthly podcast, a podcast featuring 20 or so short articles of internet-related news and views, tips and tricks, and a regular search engine of the month feature. This podcast is sponsored by Zen Internet. For more information on this month's edition and a list of links for each story, please visit richardfarrer.com. In this month's issue, you can find out how to get a free business desk in Wales, discover the next generation of young entrepreneur dragons, read an internet guide for watchful parents, how to avoid Google getting too personal, and check the basic search results instead. Four ways to find real-time search, and why it's wasted elsewhere. Who should be radical, competitive, accountable, innovative, and green. And say goodbye, at last, to Internet Explorer 6. Farewell to Internet Explorer 6. Google is taking a lead in banishing Microsoft's Internet Explorer 6 web browser, which most site designers have considered obsolete for some time. The search company's move is the latest in a string of major web properties dropping support for IE6, or urging users to ditch it for something newer. Campaigns began in February 2009, when Facebook prompted IE6 users to upgrade. This year, Google blamed the almost decade-old browser for the Chinese hackings it suffered in January, and the French and German governments warned their citizens to stop using the browser altogether. In the UK, the Department of Health has told users in the NHS to switch to version 7 of Microsoft's browser. Google says many other companies have already stopped supporting older browsers. From March the 1st, we're also going to begin phasing out our support, starting with Google Docs and Google Sites, followed by Gmail, webmail service, and YouTube. As a result, you may find that key functionality within these products won't work properly with older browsers, despite such announcements. There will be users reluctant to change, and large businesses often put off the task of making company-wide upgrades. Although Microsoft has released two more versions of Explorer since IE6, around 20% of users still rely on the 9-year-old browser, including some UK government departments. But many developers want to see the browser phased out as soon as possible. The online campaign IE6 No More, supported by more than 70 web firms, says that because the browser does not support modern standards, it restricts what developers can do and is holding the web back. There are plenty of choices for anyone ready to take the advice to dump IE6 for something better. Google recommends IE7 Plus, Firefox 3 Plus, Chrome 4 Plus, and Safari 3 Plus for upgraders. You might also want to look at Opera 10 Plus, modestly described by its designers as the fastest browser on earth. Check out Google's own browser at google.com/chrome. Catching young dragons. A test that could help identify the next generation of young entrepreneurs has been devised by an academic at Kingston University in southwest London. As well as spotting students who are more likely to start their own business, the Attitudes to Enterprise test also aims to find out which young people show a flair for self-employed enterprise or running their own community project. Researcher Rosemary Ethade at Kingston's Small Business Research Centre developed the test to find budding business leaders among school pupils aged 15 to 18 and to evaluate whether schemes for young entrepreneurs had any impact on pupils' ambitions. She has also adapted the test to suit undergraduates. Read more at alphagalileo.org. Kraiso I Gymru. If you currently operate a business outside the United Kingdom, or anywhere in England, Scotland or Ireland, and are considering Wales as a new market, you might want to know about the Access Wales programme. It offers an opportunity to make a start in the Principality for very little outlay. Targeted towards technology businesses, Access Wales is a service offered by International Business Wales, IBW. On offer is what the Welsh Assembly Government is calling a free desk in Wales for 12 months in a choice of one of its 15 innovation centres, plus a free business support package with general and specialist assistance. Most of the available locations are in the south of the country and within 2 hours' drive of London, but there are two in North Wales and one in the Mid Wales seaside university town of Aberystwyth. For more details, see ibwales.com/business-support. Management openings. What has to be radical, competitive, accountable, innovative, and green to succeed? According to a thoughtfully designed website created by the BBC and the Open University, the answer is modern business management. The site contains a blog, a podcast, and a section dedicated to the use of technology in management solutions. The Virtual Revolution is a section that provides interviews, commentary, and research on how the virtual world will continue to reshape society and business in the future. Other topics are highlighted in The Bottom Line, a feature of the site based on a weekly BBC radio programme that's also shown on TV, in which Evan Davis sits down in a Radio 4 cubicle with top business leaders each week to quiz them on current trends, cost-cutting measures, and such adages as the customer is always right. Read more at open2.net/moneyandmanagement. Fringe politics. There are now 24 million Facebook accounts in the UK, making it Britain's biggest civil society, with a level of participation beyond the wildest dreams of any of the political parties. But it is more entertainment than political arena, says Spike's Michael Fitzpatrick, despite all the talk of its power to affect change through multi-follower campaign groups. For more information, see spiked-online.com. Growing land. A campaign with plans to bring underused and unloved land back into use so that communities and hundreds of keen would-be fruit and vegetable growers have somewhere to get digging was announced last month by Communities Secretary John Denham and Environment Secretary Hilary Benn. There is huge interest in growing your own, with people wanting to get more in touch with where their food comes from, as well as staying active and spending more time outdoors. Denham and Benn have set out a package of measures to help gardeners in the community. An online report and short video can be seen at communities.gov.uk. Stealth wind power. Having a rooftop wind turbine on your house might help to knock your electricity bill into better shape, but planning authorities could have reservations about spinning blades added to the suburban skyline, and neighbours would object to the sound of them churning out their power boost in a stiff breeze. British inventor Rupert Sweet Escott and his Dragon's Den partner James Kahn think they have the perfect solution. Their company's secret energy turbine, SET, is disguised to look like a tall chimney pot, and it runs very, very quietly. Check out secretenergyturbine.com. Fuel cell in a box. American company Bloom Energy generated powerful interest for its down-to-earth electricity plant last month after nationwide TV exposure on the venerable CBS news program 60 Minutes. The Bloom Box is an electricity-generating fuel cell box designed to sit in the back garden and provide enough power to supply all the green energy needs for a large family house. Stacked together, they are enough for a corporate office building. Fuel cells have promised much over the years, and skeptics have been doubtful about this latest complete solution from Bloom Energy. But CBS learned that companies such as Google and eBay have been quietly trialling the Bloom Box for over a year, and the device has been powering a Google data center for the past 18 months. Executives at eBay say that running 5 Bloom boxes for 9 months in their trial has saved the company over $100,000 in electricity costs. Read more at businessweek.com/globalbiz. Endangered species. A wave of Twitter phishing attacks targeted British microbloggers in February. Although there have been similar threats throughout Twitter's history, the recent examples managed to spread aggressively, and some were aimed at politicians and media figures. According to The Guardian, victims included the paper's own Matt Wells, the BBC's Nick Higham, the Press Complaints Commission and Environmental Minister Ed Miliband. A bank, First Direct, was also targeted. Twitter phishing attacks usually appear as tweets or direct messages asking users to click a link that goes to a counterfeit Twitter login page. For more updates on Twitter safety, check out twitter.com/safety. Scoop. In Evelyn Waugh's satirical novel, The Daily Beast was a Fleet Street newspaper that spared no expense to send correspondents around the world to cover breaking news stories. Today, The Daily Beast is an online resource, one of those news websites that seeks to act as a guide through the mass of breaking stories on the net, which is apparently where many reporters get their stories. A new survey suggests that 89% of journalists source many of their stories from blogs. 65% trawl social networks, such as Facebook, for inspiration, and 52% rely on Twitter. But in the same survey, most writers downplayed the importance of social media in their reporting efforts, with only 15% citing it as important. Check out thedailybeast.com. Online press trusted best. A ComScore survey done for the Newspaper Association of America finds that newspaper websites are the most visited and most trusted sources for local news and information, outpacing local radio and TV sites, portals, and speciality and social networking websites. Approximately 60% of the respondents said newspaper sites were the top online source for local information, and that the advertising carried on local newspaper websites was more trustworthy. Read more at naa.org. A reader writes, for newsletter subscribers with children, Chris Pryor found a guide for watchful parents that he recommends for anyone who wants to make sure they know what online sources their offspring are trusting to share information and how their kids are using technology. Check out parents.vodafone.com. British Library of Websites. The British Library has been archiving UK websites since 2004, but has only been able to cover 6,000 of the estimated 8 million sites it should be considering. According to curators, Britain's online heritage could be lost forever if the government does not grant them a right to archive. Currently, library staff must ask permission from site owners before archiving their pages. The Legal Deposit Libraries Act, which requires that every UK print publication is automatically deposited by publishers in the British Library, was extended in 2003 to cover online material. But the British Library says it failed to clarify what steps had to be taken before electronic material was recorded. We're in the ridiculous position where we have to ask permission of each webmaster before we archive a site, a spokesman said. For more details, see www.bl.uk/news. Laptop stops. Finding internet access when travelling can be a hit and miss affair. LaptopFriendlyCafes.com helps by indexing cafes with free Wi-Fi in cities around the world, including the UK. Its directory lets you plan ahead, and when you do have a connection, you can browse some of the alternative sites in the area by typing in your current location. Check out laptopfriendlycafes.com. Britain's best broadband. Zen Internet has been awarded its 9th Which Best Buy for Broadband Award, topping the satisfaction tables for the 6th year running. In tests by 12,000 consumers, Zen scored an 89% approval rating and was awarded 5 stars for customer service, support, and connection reliability, above all the other ISPs rated in the annual nationwide survey. According to Which Best Buy broadband packages represent outstanding reliability and overall customer satisfaction. This year, out of all the ISPs, only one was deemed good enough to be named Best Buy. Check out zen.co.uk/broadband. Homer Run. Microsoft's Bing search engine will be the new sponsor of The Simpsons on Channel 4. The 3-month deal is thought to be worth over £500,000. Microsoft hopes to raise awareness for its revamped search engine and is using a range of traditional advertising to push for attention. Bing will sponsor The Simpsons on both Channel 4 and Channel 4 Plus One. It will be Microsoft's first partnership with a TV program in the UK and coincides with the 20th anniversary of the popular cartoon sitcom. The adverts incorporate Simpsons characters and will be shown before and after each episode, as well as in the ad breaks. Simpson family members will be shown using the search engine to solve problems. Bing was launched last year in an effort to close the gap on Google and Yahoo, the market leaders in Britain. Latest statistics show a 4% share of UK market share for Bing, which matches Yahoo but leaves Google a long way out in front with 86%. Read more at marketingweek.co.uk/news. Google TV. Further blurring the line between TV and online content, Google is testing a TV search service in partnership with Dish Network, the second biggest satellite television provider in the United States. The Wall Street Journal says the service, which runs on TV set-top boxes containing Google software, allows users to find shows on the satellite TV service and video from websites like Google's YouTube. The idea is that Google will be able to offer a better user interface for TV searches than service providers and may also be able to hook up its TV ad business. Although there will be tough competition from the likes of Clicker.com, an existing and popular service with extensive coverage of the USA's online and offline video and digital entertainment. For more details, see telegraph.co.uk/technology. Buzzy. Google recently released Buzz, a social media platform for Gmail. Reception was mixed, but with its massive Gmail user base, it was guaranteed some traction along its intended path as the next big thing in social networking. Within weeks, it was followed by Buzzy, a real-time search engine for Google Buzz and a few other social networks. Designed by the people behind Twit Job Search, a job search engine for Twitter, Buzzy does what it says on the tin: indexing items from Google Reader, Twitter, and Friend Feed, as well as Buzz itself. Check out buzzy.com. Real-time search. At the recent Search Marketing Expo, SMX West, in California, there were two panels on real-time search, one with representatives from Google, Yahoo, and Bing, and the other with four real-time search startups: Collector, CrowdEye, OneRiot, and Topsy. It was apparent that real-time search is a very different problem to solve if you're a major search engine and unclear how many users wanted to see a steady stream of unedited tweets and status updates going by in any case. The questions that the major search engines had to ponder while embarking on the project of bringing the so-called live web to their search engine results pages included: which queries to show results for, which sources to include, how to filter out spam, and how to determine relevancy. Dylan Casey, product manager at Google, said there were huge debates internally about the usefulness of real-time results. Sean Sukta, general manager of Microsoft's Search Technology Center, said our goal is to get user value out of it. Ken Moss, co-founder of CrowdEye and a 20-year Microsoft veteran, said startups can create and explore opportunities that no one else would have done. CrowdEye, which currently sources exclusively from Twitter, uses its CrowdRank algorithms to display tweets and links by relevance. It also allows users to filter results by time span and offers a chart of hourly tweet volume over the past 3 days. Filtering is taken to another level by Topsy and Collector. Collector allows filtering by source, status updates, photos, blog posts and articles, blog comments and videos. Topsy not only filters by source, web, photos and tweets, but also by time and relevance. Because it also indexes data, it allows users to see popular tweets from the past. Real-time search is still an emerging market. One of the startups has the chance to succeed before Google or Bing gets the hang of it. It's anybody's game, said Ken Moss at CrowdEye. And way too early to tell what's going to be successful and in what way. Check out Collector.com, CrowdEye.com, OneRiot.com, and Topsy.com. The eyes are not having it. Despite the proclaimed usefulness of real-time search results added by Google and others in a rush to relevance, catch-up exercise following the rise and rise of Twitter, The Guardian reports that users are simply ignoring the new content. Citing an eye-tracking study from OneUpWeb, the paper suggests that posting snippets from Twitter high into search results is a waste of time. But the 140-character instant blogging site would lose a hefty chunk of revenue if major search engines were to drop the lines of fresh breaking chatter. Google and Bing are said to be paying millions to display the stuff. Read more at guardian.co.uk/technology. New PPC features welcomed. Promised enhancements for pay-per-click advertisers have been delivered by Yahoo. They are welcomed with some enthusiasm at ppchero.com, the authority on pay-per-click strategy and industry news, with a review of the extra features and improvements to the ad-serving network and the new tools that provide advertisers with more controls to optimize their bids and gain more conversions. For more information, see ppchero.com. Search Engine of the Month. Google search results and the accompanying set of tailored pay-per-click advertising that you see when you use the world's most popular search engine are increasingly personalized and localized according to Google's ideas about your whereabouts, likely intentions, the previous searches you've made, and the links you've chosen to follow in the past. One way of seeing results that exclude such manipulation and reflect a more general or world view is to use a search engine that relies on Google's results, but presents them in a different way, without taking account of your location or previous search activity. SortFix is a new search engine that does just that, and adds an optional drag and drop keyword feature to differentiate itself from others offering untempered results. Check out SortFix.com. Well, that's all for this month. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll listen again next month.